company. Thank you, Denny. I appreciate that. You do better than I do. And so the body is a very important thing. Now, as we look at the fact that the church is like a body, we recognize some things that God wants us to know about the church. One of those things which this context brings out is that every part of the body has a different function. My hand does not do what my elbow does. But you know what? My hand kind of depends on my elbow. Does it not? In fact, my hand kind of relies on my eyes to be able to know what to do. My hand kind of relies on each joint. I might look at the different parts of the body and I might think that, well, you know, that part is not like me. And so therefore it's not as important. Is that what this context is teaching? This context is teaching that every part of the body is very important. We might look at, my forearm might look at my fingernail and say, well, you're hard and tough and I don't want anything to do with you. Right? Because the fingernail is different. Right? Is that correct? Would that be proper thinking? My bones might get tired of the muscle and say, well, I don't like you, because you're just soft and pliable. Well, then where's the bone? Is the bone going to move? The bone might get disgusted with the ligaments and the joints that hold the bones together and say, get out of my way. But do we see how they're all important? And so it doesn't matter which part of the body that we're talking about, but each one is interconnected and dependent on the other parts of the body. And so as we look at what's going on here, we need to recognize how valuable every part of the body is. Now, as we go through this, we're going to recognize the body is actually made up. It is the church. And so the church is not this building, but the scriptures teach us that the church is the members of Christ, Christians. And so let's back up just a little bit. I'm going to add a verse here because I think it's a good place to interject this. But I want us to note here that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, in the very beginning stages of the church, the very beginning, in fact, the first day, notice here what he says. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And he's referring back up to those Christians that believed and were baptized. And he says then to add and to conclude this thought, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. So in other words, the additions to the church are saved people. Notice the Lord adds them. But notice when he's saying the Lord added to the church, he's saying that the Lord added to the body. And so as we go down through this context, we're going to learn the great importance of each part and how we as the church cannot look down and say that just because that part of the body is not like me, it doesn't do what I do, I don't particularly care for their function, doesn't mean that we can look down on that body, that part of the body. But each one is very important. And there's a passage in there that I'd kind of like to notice here as we go through this. It says in verse 18, and this is something that we've got to recognize as we consider the body, the church, and how we are all fitting together. And verse 18 says, but now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. When somebody chooses to obey God's gospel plan of salvation and they do that, Jesus added them. Remember who gives the increase? You and me. What do? We plant, we water. But God is the one that gives the increase to the body. So when a member obeys, or a person obeys that gospel plan of salvation that God has given them, Jesus adds them. Now, he does it as it pleases him. And that's why when I look around on different members of the body, I've got to look at that individual and say, that individual is here because it pleased God to do so. That kind of helps me to look in the eyes of each one just a little bit differently, doesn't it? So I can look at that thumbnail and say, well, you know, that's an old hard, crusty thing, and I might not like that, but it pleases God. And therefore, should I treat that thumbnail as though it's a very important and integral part of that body? I have no choice. Because that's the context that God is speaking about here. And so we need to make sure that we recognize the body of Jesus Christ. Now, as we notice that, I want to go ahead and notice something very important about that body. It's not in this context, but it's in Ephesians 5 and in other places. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. We're going to recognize that this body that he's talking about, the church, has a head. Now, a head is pretty self-explanatory. What part of the body warned you to try to find a different test pilot? It's the head. Okay? It's saying body. I think we're going to regroup here. We're going to be a little more careful. And so the head is that which directs the body. My head is going to have to... my head says, all right, elbow, don't get disgusted at the crusty thumbnail. And my elbow's got to give in, right? Because my head says that's the way it's going to be. And so if my elbow listens to my head, my elbow's not going to detest my crusty thumbnail. Because it's all part of the body. And that's what the head says. And so, as we look at this, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." And so, recognizing Jesus as the head of the church, we have to recognize the fact that Jesus is the one that tells the body what to do. Now, guys, this is why it's so very important that we look carefully at what Jesus has given us. Jesus wants us to know exactly what we are supposed to do. And so therefore, as we read His Word, we need to make sure that we listen. Okay? Does your body do what my head says? And so, if that's the case, and we're not doing what Jesus says, are we His body? That would be scary, isn't it? Okay? So we need to be paying attention to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus has the best plan in the world to give you a great life. Amidst problems and struggles, everybody's got plenty of them. Jesus gives direction, Jesus gives guidelines, Jesus gives commands that will help us to be able to have the great life. How many of us want a great life? Man, I do. I do. And I get around. And the people without Jesus as a head, they don't usually have the greatest of lives. Now, is that a learning process? Do we have to learn to humbly submit to Jesus as the boss? It's hard, okay? And I think the controversy that's over this immediate context, it's talking about Christ and the church in Ephesians 5, but it uses the example of women, submit to your husbands. Now, I'm glad that Jesus is the best husband. Now, guys, we probably need to admit that we're not always the best. And that might make it a little bit harder for the women to submit to her husband. All right? But Jesus is the perfect husband. And so how hard is it for you and me sometimes to submit to Him? Okay? I think God has designed this life so we'll recognize these things. Now, the very fact is, we need to submit. That's our responsibility, and we need to do that. And the reason is found in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And the very fact is, he's just quite all authority is His. It says in that passage, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's all His. And so it's kind of nice that He has all power because He is the good shepherd. He takes good care of His sheep. You know, I made sure that my sheep were sheared every year. I had a neighbor that didn't live too far from us in Missouri, and he had a lot of sheep. And he would call the sheep shearer every 3-4 years or so, and he'd say, come shear my sheep. And he'd say, it's going to cost you a bunch because they're a mess. And those sheep looked terrible. Because he wasn't a good shepherd. They had illnesses. They had other struggles because they didn't have a shepherd that took care of them. We've got a good shepherd in Jesus that takes good care of us and will bless our lives if we will submit to Him. And I had a few obstinate sheep that didn't want to listen. And those were contrary. They were difficult. And it created problems in their lives. But at any rate, you know, Jesus is the one that has all authority. Guys, let's listen to Him. Let's diligently search through His Word to see what He says and strive to give in to the things that He tells us that we're supposed to do. He has all authority. Now I want to go back to that Ephesians passage. But I want to drop back to chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23. Because within that, He helps us to see that He has all authority over everything to the church. We might look around the world around us. And yeah, Jesus has all authority and people aren't listening to Him. They don't want anything to do with what He said. You see the misery that's out there? You see the pain and the suffering that goes on and the heartaches? Well, I got news for you. He does have all authority, but they're just not listening. Now, the Bible says that on the day of judgment, they're all going to bow the knee to Jesus. They will acknowledge that He has the power, but it's going to be too late. You and me have the opportunity right now to submit to Jesus. And so we need to do that now. But the world out there, they don't listen. And you and me as the church, sometimes we struggle because we're human beings. And that's why we need to gain encouragement from one another. We need to gain strength from the reading and studying the Bible. And we need to work at it. But we have a good shepherd that is in charge. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, it's talking about what God did for Jesus. And it says, and He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. The fullness of Him that fills all in all. And so, as we look at the context and what the Lord is saying, He's saying that, number one, the church is the body of Jesus. Jesus is the head. He has all authority, all power, and the body, the church, is the rest of Him. But notice that the church, the body, is the fullness of Jesus. What happens if, say, cut your head off? Are you alive? You're done. Jesus' body is the church. And the body, the church, makes Jesus, it's the fullness of Jesus, makes Him complete. And so we recognize that and we see His power and we recognize that He has all authority over the church. Now, we need to learn to submit. Because if you're like me, there's areas that you struggle with. But we need to work at that and we need to encourage one another. In other words, I need to encourage my elbow. Put up with the thumb. It's a good guy. Okay? That thumbnail, it's very important because, you know, if you go to, you ever scrape off paint? You know, this finger don't work good, but this one's tougher and it really works better to scrape the paint off. And so, you know, the elbow could do all that it would, but if there was no thumbnail there, how good is it going to scrape that hard paint off? It's not going to do it because you don't have that crusty old thumbnail. And so the elbow is going to have to say, wait a minute, the head says this is important. And so therefore I will make sure that I'll respect that, because that's what the head is saying. And that's about me and you looking at each other. We're all important. Everyone's valuable. And I'm so glad we're all different. I'm so glad that each one of us has different strengths and weaknesses, because I don't have to worry about doing some things that I don't do well in. You don't have to pick up the slack for some of the things that is my job, that I do. But together, you put all of those parts of the body together and you've got a well-oiled machine. It works great, and it goes forward, and it builds, and it grows, and it edifies. And that's with Jesus as the head. Now, in John chapter 14 and verse 15, it's talking about what kind of actions are going to be portrayed in our life if we love Jesus. It's a verse that it's short, it's easy to remember, and we need to think about the implications within it. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Sometimes it's such a struggle and a battle within to give in to Jesus. We're just old human beings. And we got all of our weaknesses and our failings and our shortcomings. And Jesus says one thing, and we're saying, but I don't like that, Jesus. But Jesus said, wait just a minute. If you love me, you will do what I say. Now that kind of is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? And it's not really talking so much about the easy things, because there's a lot of things in our lives and man, we can go forward in them and do great, but some of it's the tough things. When it gets in our face and we don't like where it's going, we want to say, wait just a minute. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now I want to drop down to verse 21. You know, over the years, I've often wondered, why is it that we memorize verse 15, but we don't talk about verse 21 very often? And every time I teach this part of the scripture, I often wonder that. And so I want to go down to verse 21. I really like the way it states this. Jesus continues in this same context, and he said, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. Number one, we can see there that it's not enough just to believe what he says. We're going to have to keep doing them. Because if we don't love him. And that's pretty plain what Jesus is talking about. He's the head. He's in charge. And he continues and he says, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. Notice, this is the person that has and keeps the commands of God. Those persons are going to be loved by God. How many of you want to be loved by God? Man, this is big stuff. Okay? I want to be loved by God. I want Him to look at me and be thankful that I'm His child. I want His love. He continues and he says, and I will love Him. And so in other words, I can love, if I'm going to love Jesus, God's going to love me, and not only God, but Jesus is going to love me. How many of us want Jesus' love? Man, I do. This is a big thing. He's the one that died on the cross. As they mentioned a while ago, look what he's done for us. And how easy it is to want to spit in his face when we don't like what he says. As part of the body, we're going to have to submit to the head. And the last part of that verse simply says this: I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus is a great head. But as a member of the Lord's body, we have to obey. We have to obey. Why is it that God made it such a thing where obeying will bless our life so much. Have you ever really thought about that? Why is it that Jesus gives us commands that will give us a much greater life? Now, is that a good shepherd or what? You know? Is that a shepherd that we would say, man, I want to follow that one? It's kind of like a husband. A husband that will act the way Jesus does, the wife's going to say, man, I'll follow you anyway. I'll do whatever you say because you're like Jesus. Just as the church should recognize how great Jesus is and say, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever, even if it gets in my face, even if I don't like it, because I recognize your goodness, I recognize your greatness, I recognize how you bless me, I recognize how even after this greatness is over that we can go to heaven when this life's over. Recognize the greatness of Jesus. And you know what? There are many people that you know, they fought and they struggled with this. And in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, he was talking to these people that, you know, they talked a good game, okay? And they called him Lord, Lord, Lord. You're my Lord. How many people to say in our society call on Jesus as Lord? I don't think I've hardly met anybody. But notice what Jesus says. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, do we really recognize what Lord means? Lord means that is an individual that speaks and we obey. Now, this all fits together because he's the head. And if he speaks and we don't obey, he's not our Lord. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not saying it's not a challenge, okay? And I'm not saying we won't fail from time to time, but when we fail, we need to pick it back up. We need to ask for forgiveness of that failing, and we need to try to go forward and do better instead of using his license, I'm just that way. God didn't allow the attitude of I'm just that way, and so therefore you're going to have to accept me the way I am, Lord. Not going to do what you say. I don't really want to go against him because it creates problems in my life and the lives of those around me. Jesus is a great Lord. He's a great Master that will help me and bless my life. And then we go back to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see a very important passage that in relation to Jesus as the head. And he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. If you've had multiple children, you may have had one that was just, man, they were just giving in, they were following, they were trying to please and do what you, and man, they were a dear child. And then there was the one that made you wonder, why on earth did I ever have children in the first place? They about break you the habit, you know. Say, no more, I've had enough, I can't take it anymore. Jesus is telling you and me that we need to be followers of God as dear children. Don't make God unhappy. Be that dear child that strives to follow and to do. And I look at the Apostle Peter and some of the struggles that he created for Jesus. And I'm thinking, man, Jesus still loved him. But I know that had to be a major trauma in his life and dealing with that. We need to strive to be those dear children. We need to recognize that when we submit to His will, many of our decisions are made. Now, this is something important about obeying that plan that God has given us to be saved. When we repent and acknowledge Him as Jesus, the Son of God, we are in effect saying that I am making a decision that you will make my decisions from now on. Now, that's really not so bad because when it comes to life, many crossroads are presented to us. Many challenges come and many temptations to do things that we should not do become very much alive. And the reality of all that is when we repent of our sins and we confess that He is the Son of God, we're saying He's got the right to tell us what to do. And so when those crossroads come, that decision should have already been made. And so I'm free of the decision. My Lord says this is what I'm supposed to do, and so therefore, guess what? I don't have to make a decision, because I made a decision already that I'm going to follow the Lord. Does that make it easy? It doesn't necessarily make it easy. It can still be a challenge. But we are relieved of that burden of making a decision because we've decided to follow Jesus and allow Him to be our Lord. Now, following down in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 2 and verses after that, he says, "Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Walk in love with one another. I tell you what, I'm so thankful for the love that we share here. That doesn't mean we won't have challenges from time to time. That doesn't mean that love is not strained from time to time. We're human beings. But God is saying that we're supposed to walk in love among one another the way Jesus loved us. Well, obviously that kind of love means that I'm going to make sacrifices for those that are hard to love. As a part of that body, my elbow's got to say, look, that old crusty thumbnail, it may be aggravating to me, but let's let God function in its role. And I'm going to be happy with that old crusty thumbnail. That's the way the body works. Because that's the way the Lord's church works. Because the church is like a body. And God used that for a reason. So we need to walk in love. And then more of these decisions that He made. He says in verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named as you as become a saint. So those decisions are made. We choose Jesus as Lord, and we've already made that decision. Fornication, uncleanness, all of those things, we put them away. We don't even want it to be named among us. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Many of the words that we can say and the actions that we do are really can be pretty filthy. And you look around in the world around us and, man, I'm glad that we are striving to stay away from all that stuff. And so this is why the body, we've had decisions made for us when we call Jesus Lord. And I don't have to make those decisions. That doesn't mean I don't have to work to get rid of those things. But I want to make sure that I go forward and do what is right. And so the passages continue on. We drop back to 32, and it says basically the same thing in chapter 4. Be ye kind one to another. And so it keeps going. And the requirements that God has given for His body, that's the way we are supposed to act. And so those decisions are made for us. Now, I want to go to this passage in 1 Corinthians 14. Because this is a passage that really helps us to understand what is it that Jesus actually says. What commands do we have that are actually things, and where do we find them, and what are they? And so this verse in verse 37... the Apostle Paul was dealing with some challenges in the church at Corinth. And so there was some fighting. There was some unkindness. There was some sin in the camp, fornication. And so he was writing to them. And there was also some questioning his authority as an apostle. And so I want us to note what the Apostle Paul says here in answer to that foolish thinking. And he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now let's think about that for just a minute. because as we notice this, the apostles were told that Jesus would guide them into all truth. Well, Peter wrote some scriptures. James and Jude and others, they wrote the scriptures down. And when they were writing them down, what they were doing, as the Apostle Paul tells us here, is they're giving us the commands of the Lord. So in other words, when I read through the pages of the New Testament, I'm learning what Jesus expects of me. Now, I can't pick and choose. I say, well, you know, I like this passage here, but this one over here, I don't like it. And sometimes people do that with the Word of God. When they don't like what it says, they say, well, I don't like that. It doesn't agree with what I've always believed. That doesn't fit into my realm of what I like and what I want. And so therefore, I won't do that. Well, no, Jesus says very clearly through Paul that the things that were written there were His words. So we need to follow. Because you see, Jesus is that head. The decisions have been made for us. The important ones. The church is the body of Jesus. I do my best as the head of my body to take care of my body. I try to keep it out of danger. Now, anybody want to be a test pilot for Steve? His head's saying stay off for now. I think that's so funny. But I try to take care of my body. Okay? And my head's saying, this is what you need to be doing. Jesus is a whole lot better than me. He's the head. He's the one that you and I are to listen to. And as we look at those things, we'll see here this afternoon how this body is to work together and to fulfill that role that Jesus has given us. I want to be a part of that body. Jesus tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 that He adds all the saved to the body. He tells us in numerous places through the Scriptures what one does to be saved is that we gain a faith by reading and studying the Word of God, Hebrews 11:6 and Romans 10:17, and that as we learn, we realize that we need to make some changes. That's called repentance, okay? Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you all likewise perish. Quite frankly, if I'm doing things that Jesus doesn't approve of, I need to quit because it's not going to be good for me or those that are around me. And so I just need to change, and He tells me the right things to change so I can be what I should and have a good life. We also recognize that we need to confess that Christ is the Son of God. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. I want that salvation. I desperately want it. Jesus also teaches us that we need to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38. But He also tells us we got to live faithful. You can't turn your back on the Lord. You got to keep living for God. You got to keep keeping those commandments. We're created for that purpose, to serve Him. And I want to serve Him. Because He's a good master. He's the good shepherd. And He will bless my life. Especially if I live as He has told me that I should live. You're part of that body? If not, you need to be. Are you a faithful part of that body? If not, you need to be. If there's anybody here this afternoon or this morning that needs to respond to the invitation, please do it now while we stand and sing.